the seat of the candomblé tradition in Bahia. Before Salvador, the tradition was already in Cachoeira. It's a sacred place in itself. And he's an offspring of that place and the tradition. And you could see the way he sang his songs, that he's not singing. He's kind of proclaiming, he's kind of professing a faith.
There's a great kind of reverence that I pick up from Mateus's music to Africa, and a sense that Africa is, you know, the source of a great culture that's been recreated here under terrible circumstances, but that it's really important and close.
Africa, para nós, digamos que para nós, não só para mim, mas África para nós é tudo.
He is going beyond himself and saying that Africa for us is everything. The expression of how this country gave and took the first steps.
Costumamos falar que o Brasil, depois de ser indígena por natureza, ele depois é mesmo, do ponto de vista cultural, africano.
Brazil, besides being from the very beginning indigenous, it is culturally African.
Do negro escravo que aportou aqui com sua realidade. Eram homens de cultura, eram sacerdotes, eram cientistas e que vieram como escravos.
They were priests and they were scientists, but they were slaves here.
Yeah.
Mateus, your music is just an incredible mixture that reflects the history of Brazil, I guess, with all those different elements that came together in this country.
Totalmente. Ele aparentemente é puramente trabalho de influência africana.
It has an African influence, but we can't forget that there is the Baroque influence in this music, and the Baroque is European and is Portuguese.
But is it true to say that Bahia is the most African state of Brazil?
Se ela anda aqui em Salvador, não vê negro, não está andando em Salvador.
If you walk on the Salvador street and do not see any black, you're not in Salvador.
You may be a ghetto European here.
Maybe an European ghetto.
Why are you called Mateus Aleluia?
É meu nome de família.
It's a family name.
Really?
Minha filha se chama Fabiana Aleluia, meu filho se chama Mateus Aleluia, meu outro filho se chama Marcos Paulo Aleluia, meu pai era Antônio Aleluia, meu irmão é Arthur Aleluia. Aleluia.
Meu pai veio da Ruanda e a nossa mãe é Iansã. Meu pai veio da Ruanda e a nossa mãe é Iansã. O gira, deixa girar, girar. O gira, deixa girar, girar. O gira, deixa girar, girar. O gira. Deixa girar, girar, Sarapá e Ansan, é Xangô e Emanjá iê. Deixa girar, girar, o gira, deixa girar, girar. 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 Gira, deixa girar, girar. O gira, deixa girar, girar.
Music from Salvador in northeast Brazil, ending World Roots, which was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkin. That programme was first broadcast in April last year. Next week, Lucy introduces exclusive sessions and masterclasses from Azerbaijan with World Roots Academy apprentice Fidan Hajieva and her mentor, the singer Gotchak Askarov. That's at 10 o'clock next Sunday night.
Over three nights on BBC Radio 3, three major works by Ralph Vaughan Williams. In Radio 3 Live in Concert, the 4th and 9th symphonies from the London Philharmonic and the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. The week culminates on Friday with Vaughan Williams' five vivid character sketches, the Tudor portraits. And alongside these three great works by Vaughan Williams, music by fellow British composers William Walton and Michael Tippett. Radio 3 live in concert, weeknights at 7:30 and online afterwards through the Radio 3 website.
Now on Radio 3, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello, on today's show I'll be joined by award-winning pianist and MOBO award winner Zoe Rahman in advance of her appearance at this year's Brighton Festival. Also on the programme I'll be taking a look at some of the UK's events lined up for this year's UNESCO's International Jazz Day celebrations. Plus, Kevin Legendre is here with this month's Now's the Time album. Kevin, what have you unearthed from the archives for us?
It's a first for Now's the Time. It's our first ever soundtrack by a fantastic group from the early 90s, the Branford Marsalis Quartet, featuring Terence Blanchard, playing the music for a film which made quite a bit of a splash, Mo' Better Blues by Spike Lee.
Thanks, Kevin. Look forward to hearing more from that album a bit later on. But let's get the show started with a brand new release out tomorrow, the 29th of April, on the Whirlwind recording label for Bristol-born composer and pianist Sam Crowe. This is Crowe's second album following the critically acclaimed album Synesthesia, and the music is a genre-blending mix of his musical influences, and Sam says that he has attempted to exploit the incredibly unique sounds of the individuals on this recording. The album was recorded in New York with some of the most talked about young jazz musicians, including drummer Mark Juliana and saxophonist Will Vinson. Let's hear the title track, Towards the Center of Everything.
Thank you.
Sam Crow and Towards the Centre of Everything, which is the title track of the album, which is out tomorrow. And Sam launches the CD at the Vortex Jazz Club in London on the 1st of May. So go along and support him, and I'm sure you'll hear that piece of music during his set. We're now to another new release, this time for vocalist Madeline Peru, who finds herself collaborating with some of the world's finest musicians and legendary producer Larry Klein. The album's called The Blue Room, and Peru bravely explores new musical grounds. And both her and Klein have produced a sophisticated mix of styles on songs that they both love. Plus, on some tracks, they've added an inspired orchestral element in the shape of master arranger Vince Mendoza. Quite a lineup. Well, as ever, from Peru, it's not the straight-ahead jazz affair that some might hope for, as her voice has the ability to encompass soul, gospel and country styles too. And here's something with a definite country twang, Changing All Those Changes. Taken from The Blue Room, that was the unmistakable sound of Madeline Peru and the song Changing All Those Changes. And you can hear her live at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival, where she plays the Big Top on the 2nd of May at 8:30. Well, now to a musician who I'm always bumping into on the scene, but never really get the time to sit and talk to her. So I'm delighted to say pianist-composer Zoe Rahman joins me now in advance of her appearance at this year's Brighton Festival, which is running from the 4th to the 26th of May. Zoe, welcome.
Hello.
Well, let me first add, probably it's a very late congratulations on your Mobo win. It must seem like ages away from you, but...
It doesn't really actually seem that long ago.
Are you still
in
the glow?
Yeah, I mean, things have happened as a result of it, which is fantastic, including this Brighton gig. So, yeah, I'm really happy about that.
Great. So let's talk about that award. I mean, who else was up for that? There was some fierce competition.
Yeah, there were some other fantastic musicians, actually. Femi Tomorrow, Ayanna Whittaker-Johnson, Zara McFarlane and Roller Trio. So it was a great night, actually, to be among such fantastic musicians.
And did you secretly think, oh, I might have a chance? Or
no,
did you have your acceptance speech rolled up when you...
Actually, no, because in terms of being nominated, that was just a surprise in itself. So just to be a part of the event was great. And, I mean, you know, someone had to win the thing. So in terms of what it's done for jazz, I mean, it's great that we get that publicity and that platform to show people that jazz does actually exist.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, has it enabled you to be even more vocal about this? It's often overlooked art
absolutely,
form, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, on the night in my speech, I did thank the musicians in the same category because they all work really hard and it is a tough job being a jazz musician. So, you know, it's really appreciated that we've been given that space, that recognition.
So the Brighton Festival, who's coming with you down to
Interestingly, it's a completely different lineup to what it would have been this time last year. So I've got the wonderful Cheryl Allen on drums. That's the first time she's played my music with me, so it's going to be fantastic. Roland Sutherland on flute and alto flute, which is going to be great. And the wonderful Alec Dankworth as well on bass. So it's going to be a nice little lineup.
And is it going to be stuff from your last album, or is it going to be new stuff? Because you're a quite prolific writer, aren't you?
I do write stuff. I wouldn't say prolific, but I do enjoy writing. And yeah, there will be some new material that I've written, as well as, I mean, we do kind of play music from all of my past albums, really. I've got 5 albums now, so mainly focusing on the latest one, Kindred Spirits. Mm. But and also, I do like to play stuff by Ellington and Monk, a bit of everything, really.
Well, Zoe, recently you've been named the first patron of new jazz and contemporary music at the Arena Theatre, which is in Wolverhampton. That's
very exciting to be asked to be part of that. Yeah, Alison, who used to run another venue, she does a fantastic job building audiences. And I think, you know, this is going to be a great opportunity to bring jazz to Wolverhampton. And I'm really looking forward to being a part of that process.
I hope they've got a nice piano for you.
Yeah, they have actually, definitely. It's a Steinway, so looking forward to playing that.
And whilst you're in Brighton, are there any other gigs that you're going to check out during the festival?
I'll probably go and see, I mean, it's not necessarily jazz, but Angelique Kidjo is going to be down there.
The new young gun, Marius Nicette.
Yeah, Marius Nicette. Yeah, he's going to be there as well. So it depends, it all depends on time, how much time you get. It's very difficult as a musician because you're always travelling.
Yes.
So, you know, doing your own gig and getting the opportunity to go and see other people.
Yeah, and get the shopping in Brighton.
And get the shopping in.
Sinead O'Connor's singing there. I mean, lots of people looking forward to it. It is a real mixed bag.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the track we're going to play, Conversations with Nelly. Who was Nelly?
Conversation with Nelly is about my Irish grandmother, Nelly Grogan, and my mother's side. And, yeah, I just wanted to do a piece for her, really. She lived in Australia for many years, and so I didn't really know her that well, but I did have a conversation with her towards the end of her life when she told me I was trying to find out about my Irish side. So this is really for her.
Thank you.
Zoe Rahman and Conversations with Nelly from her award-winning CD, Kindred Spirits. And I'm looking forward very much to hearing Zoe at this year's Brighton Festival, which runs from the 4th to the 26th of May. And Zoe's gig is on Monday, the 13th of May at the Brighton Dome Corn Exchange. And that starts at 7:30. I'm Claire Martin, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Well, next up, our regular monthly feature with Kevin LeGenre, Now is the Time, where we hear a long-lost classic. Well, Kevin, you've selected something quite unusual this month. It's the soundtrack to Spike Lee's Mo Better Blues, featuring the Branford Marsalis Quartet with Terence Blanchard. Tell us why you've chosen this.
Because it's great music. To be perfectly honest, it's a question of the soundtrack being better than the film. I didn't particularly like the film.
Mm.
I thought that it didn't really do what it set out to do, which was to really show you what the life of the jazz musician was. And there were times during the film when I thought it was a bit unrealistic, or I found myself switching off. Having said that, the music, I think, is very beautiful. When you listen to the soundtrack, which is going back 22 years now, this was made in, 1990, 91, I think the music really stands up better than the film.
Mm.
But I really admire the fact that Spike Lee went there, that he wanted to make a film about jazz musicians in the first place. And it's a shame that he didn't quite get it right, but nonetheless, to say that the legacy is this great music.
Well, let's hear the first track. This is a vocal track, Harlem Blues. Tell us about the singer, because I had forgotten all about this wonderful voice.
Well, she's an actress as well. She's in the film. She plays one of Denzel Washington, who is the main character, Bleak Gilliam, the trumpeter and band leader. And he's torn between these two women, one of whom is played by Cinder Williams. And she's also a singer. And she, in a nightclub scene, actually sings this song, which I didn't realise until recently. It was written by W.C. Handy.
Okay.
So it's a song that goes a long, long way back. It's a beautiful ballad. And I think as well, it's a great way to start the album. That, again, is quite a left-field move, to actually have a jazz soundtrack kicking off with this fantastic vocal tune.
Well, let's hear it. And this is Harlem Blues.
You can never tell what's in a man's mind, and if he's from Harlem, there's no use of even trying. Just like the tide, his mind comes and goes. Like much weather, when he'll change, nobody knows, nobody knows. Man I love, well, he just turned me down. He's a Harlem Brown. Oft times I wish that I were in this ground, 6 feet underground. He idolized me as no other could, no, no. Then he surprised me, leaving me a note saying he's gone for good. And since my sweetie left me Harlem, well, it ain't the same old place. Though a thousand dandies smile right in my face, I think I'll move some homemade hooch and go out for a lark, just to drive up these mean old Harlem Blues. Broadway, give me Lenox Avenue. Angels from the skies stroll Seventh, and for that, thanks I do. From Madam Walker's beauty shops to Paul Rose System, too, that made those girls angels without any doubt. There are some spots up in Harlem where I'm told. Power. was one sweet spot in Harlem, known as Driver's Row. Ditty folks, some call them. One thing you should know is that I have a friend who lives there. I know he won't refuse to put some music to my troubles on. Call him Harlem in Harlem, known as Driver's Row. Ditty folks, some call them. One thing you should know is that I have a friend who lives there. I know he won't refuse to put some music to my troubles and call them Harlem blues. To put some music to my troubles and call them the Harlem.
Harlem Blues, taken from the movie soundtrack to Mo Better Blues. Kevin, let's talk about Spike Lee's father, who's a jazz bass player, Bill Lee. So this is a world that Spike Lee kind of knows inside out. I'm not saying that this character reflects his father's life.
No, I'm sure it doesn't.
But it's surprising, some of the things you just mentioned then about not perhaps reflecting jazz musicians' real state of play. I mean, maybe his father is very successful and did live in sort of plush attics. It's
funny. I have to say, okay, when I went to see the film, I felt very empowered as a black Briton, as a person of colour, seeing so many fantastic-looking black people up on the screen. It was a very, very important thing, and I was living in Bristol at the time, hanging out with a lot of black students from London, and we went to see this film, and we thought, oh, it's just so glamorous, it's just so glitzy, and everybody looks so amazing. So that's... On the one hand, that is a bit of a plus point. The dodgy thing is, I never quite believed the characters and the lives that they were living. I just thought there was something that didn't ring true. And I felt that he needed to go a bit further into the real nitty-gritty and the struggle of the jazz musician to master this music, which, as you know, is really, really difficult to play, is really demanding. And I don't think he quite got that. But nonetheless, there's a degree of authenticity that comes through, and maybe that is something that you can relate to his father. Mm. Bill Lee is a great double bass player and also a really good composer. And even though this is Branford Marsalis's album, as it were, many of the tracks, and we're going to listen to the title track, they're composed by Bill Lee. So this is Bill Lee's album as well. You probably know he played with Aretha Franklin. He did quite a lot of work in the pop world, but he also, I think this is quite mind-blowing, he plays the bass guitar on Bob Dylan's It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, which is a pretty cool credit to have.
Definitely.
And I think certainly with the title track, Mo Better Blues, he came up with a thing of beauty. It's an absolutely stunning theme.
Mm.
It's incredibly soulful, really bluesy, and it stands up. Thank you.
The title track, Mo Better Blues, from the film Mo Better Blues, and it's been chosen by Kevin LeGenre as this month's Now's the Time album. I mean, Lee did admit to having taken liberties with the fact to sort of show what musicians could have, was his statement when he sort of was slated about it not being realistic enough. One thing that I was interested to talk to you about is, you said it's difficult to play jazz music, but they only used one actual real jazz musician, who was Jeff Tone Watts on drums, and everybody else had to learn, painstakingly learn.
In the film.
In the film. Yeah. That's another thing that perhaps he could have given some jazz musicians some work, maybe. And I mean, why use actors in that sense, do you think?
Well, I think at the time he really needed some, I suppose, people who are bankable in film terms. So having Denzel Washington and Wesley Snipes, I think that's a bit of a no-brainer. You know, he needed those names. I think he possibly could have had another professional bass player, because Jeff Tane Watts is the drummer who's featured in the film. It would have been good if he'd had, I think, a bass player as well. But certainly in terms of the marketability and the pull of the film, I think he needed Denzel Washington and Wesley Snipes.
Well, I know the album was nominated for a Soul Train Music Award in 1991, and it didn't actually win, but it was Grammy nominated as well, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So it was hugely successful.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that people have covered Mo Better Blues. That theme obviously touched musicians. They've kept it alive. So if it hadn't been well written, if it hadn't been music that was going to stand the test of time, then it would have been forgotten about. But I think they made a strong statement musically.
What's the third piece?
The third piece is Again Never, which is another Bill Lee piece, which is a very, very doleful, quite heart-tugging ballad. And I think the album has lots of strong melancholic moments. Mm. It captures more effectively the kind of struggle of the jazz musician than the film itself. Mm. That's the best way that I can put it. When I listen to this track, I think, well, maybe this is Bill Lee actually trying to put into music what he feels about the struggle of being a musician or being a creative spirit. And I don't think that came across in the film, which is why the soundtrack is important, because the soundtrack does something that the film doesn't.
Mm. Tell me more about Bill Lee, because who else does he play with and who else does he compose
for?
Well,
Bill Lee, as far as I know, I have one Bill Lee record, which is a bit of an obscurity. It's called The Sons of Mike and Phoebe, and it's a group that he led back in the late 60s, which is very, very Coltrane influenced. Really, really beautiful writing. And I think that he just is one of those jazz musicians who never hit the big time, as it were, or isn't known, isn't that well known, but is respected by musicians for what he did.
And then suddenly his son's this massive film director and says, Dad, write me a score.
Write me a score for a film about jazz musicians. I mean, that in itself is a great story. Having said that, if my memory serves me correctly, I think Bill Lee wrote at least a couple of pieces on Spike Lee's first film.
He wrote everything.
He wrote everything on She's Gotta Have It.
Yeah, he did.
Which is, to me, that's a great film. Yeah. It's a really, really great film, and it has great music.
I think that's why the critics were quite surprised by this, because She's Gotta Have It was such a statement, and we were hoping for more of the same, and this didn't quite.
To be fair to Spike Lee, I think the expectation was impossibly high. Because if you think about it, on paper, the star, everything is right. The stars line up. It's like, oh, you're a great filmmaker. You have a jazz musician for a father. You're making a film about the life of jazz musicians. It's going to be great. How can you fail? And lo and behold, it doesn't quite work.
Mm.
So I have a certain amount of sympathy for him on that score, because I remember at the time the expectations were so high.
Mm. Well, we're talking about the music specifically, though, which we both agree is perhaps better than the film.
Yeah.
So let's hear this, the third piece, and it's called
Again Never. Thank you.
That was the third piece from our Now's the Time segment, and that was called Again Never. Kevin, who were all those fabulous musicians?
Well, it's a really stellar band. So it's Branford Marsalis on saxophones, Terence Blanchard on trumpet, Jeff Tame-Watts on drums, Bob Hurst on bass, and the late, much lamented Kenny Kirkland on piano. So it's a really excellent band.
Yeah. I mean, an exposure for jazz musicians on film tracks like this can only be great for careers, can't it? I mean, it's such a major thing to be singing on a film soundtrack. Diane Reeves was in a George Clooney film a few years ago, and it was immense for her. I mean, it was all over the place. So,
yeah, you know, we mustn't forget that this is not considered a quote-unquote mainstream music. So if you have the opportunity as a jazz musician just to be on the silver screen, I remember when... I think it's either Guy Barker or Byron Wallen, or is it the two of them? And they ended up in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, Guy Barker.
And just for like a couple of frames, it's like, that's Guy Barker.
Yeah.
I think Byron's in there as well. I can't remember exactly. But you think, well, there are millions of people who've seen them just for that fleeting moment. And as you say, that can only be a good thing.
Well, thanks for that illuminating insight into Mo Better Blues. This month's Now Is The Time album. And Kevin, we'll be hearing more from you very shortly when I'll be talking about this year's UNESCO's International Jazz Day later on in the show.
Looking forward to that.
I'm Claire Martin, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. But this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival begins this week and runs from the 1st to the 6th of May. And on Saturday the 4th, you can hear this man at the Big Top at 4:45 p.m.
Standing on the balcony of a Lorraine Motel, shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. It was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream. Ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street lights. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning. The Motor City is burning. Great God, the mine is burning. Great God, the mine. What? 1960 who? 1960 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 what? 1960 what? 1960 what? That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right.
Gregory Porter with 1960 What? And he'll be appearing at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival, which has been described by The Guardian as one of the UK's classiest and most eclectic jazz festivals. And this year's programme is a testament to that claim, with a broad range of music, international jazz stars and up-and-coming artists, all under the watchful eye of the festival's guest director, Jamie Cullum. We're headlining this year are superstar vocalists Dionne Warwick and Van Morrison, Madeleine Peroux and Gregory Porter, who we just heard, plus Mike Stern and Bill Evans' band. Ravi Coltrane is performing, and so are the Mike Gibbs Ensemble. For more information on this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Spurred by the success of the first celebration, the Turkish city of Istanbul will be the global host city of the second International Jazz Day, which is on the 30th of April. The day is destined to raise awareness in the international community regarding jazz's virtues as an educational tool, as a vehicle for peace, unity, dialogue, and for enhanced cooperation between peoples. In April 2012, Herbie Hancock and TMIJ, Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz, spearheaded and organised the historical events which took place around the world, where jazz legends gathered together for key events at UNESCO's headquarters in Paris, at the United Nations headquarters in New York, as well as at the emblematic Congo Square in New Orleans. From Algiers to Buenos Aires, from Kuala Lumpur to Warsaw, more than 100 countries celebrated this day. Well, Kevin Legendre is still with me. Kevin, I mean, what do you think of the concept of an International Jazz Day?
It makes perfect sense because it's an international music. If you think about it, that's the defining thing about jazz, is that it's about cultures coming together. And throughout its history, there have been musicians from around the world who have played it.
Mm.
And so if you think of the iconic groups, the one that's just popped into my mind, which thinks, okay, this would have been perfect for International Jazz Day, is Weather Report. And Weather Report was a multinationality group.
Mm-hmm.
Austrian pianist Joe Zawinul, American saxophonist Wayne Shorter, various percussionists from around the world, mm-hmm. Alex Acuna, Manolo Badrena, Czech bass player, etc. So you think, okay, it's in the history of the music, this internationalism, so having an International Jazz Day makes perfect sense. And anything that brings a focus to the music, that increases its profile,
absolutely,
that shows it to the world, has sure. definitely got to be a good thing.
Yeah, I quite like the idea of people, even if they can't get to a gig on the 30th of April, I quite fancy everyone's going to dig out some records and just sort of play some whatever, Count Basie, Ella Fitzgerald, whatever you fancy.
It's Jazz Day, let's get
jazz
happy.
Day. Exactly, and I hope I'm not working because I'll be sort of digging up some great records. Well, this International Jazz Day marks the start of a new monthly jazz event in Ware in Hertfordshire. The concert will feature a number of jazz musicians and groups to celebrate this important international event, and that's all taking place at Leaside Church. That's on the High Street in Ware, and that's 7:30 to 9. But Kevin, anything caught your eye in the listings?
Yeah, the must-see event is at a venue called Carlton Hall in Brixton. And it's a big band led by Sean Corby, featuring this great pianist from America, Mark Carey. And they have a project called Ode to the Human Spirit, which is intriguing. I don't know what the music's going to be like, but if you know Mark Carey, he's a great pianist. He was the musical director for Abby Lincoln and Betty Carter. He's currently in David Murray's group. He's very, very good. Sean Corby, great trumpeter from the Tomorrow's Warriors stables. And it's an absolute all-star band. Randolph Matthews, Christian Brewer, Neil Charles, Simon Purcell, Leanne Carroll, Julian Siegel and more.
Wow.
Carlton Hall in London.
That's really an event not to be missed. And in Glasgow, there's something really special happening at the Old Fruit Market.
Indian percussion maestro Trilok Gurtu playing with the fantastic Italian trumpeter Paolo Fraser.
So wow.
That's going to be really good.
Terrific. Well, let's hear something from Trilok and Paolo and then segue that into something from Mark Carey. Kevin, thanks very much.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you.
A small selection of the many artists that are taking part in the UK's celebration of this year's International Jazz Day, which is on April the 30th. That was Trilok Gurtu and Paolo Frezu, who will be appearing at the Old Fruit Market in Glasgow, and then pianist Mark Carey, who will be appearing at the South London Centre in Carton Hall in London as part of the Ode to the Human Spirit event. And many thanks to Kevin Lejeune, and hope you all have a great International Jazz Day. Well, next month sees the 18th release for vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais. Entitled Mind the Gap, it's his first quartet album, and he has a stellar lineup of musicians with him to make up the group. The wonderful Robin Aspland is on the piano, Simon Thorpe is playing double bass, and Winston Clifford is on the drums. To be released on the 17th of June, let's have a sneaky preview with the swinging tune Full House.
Thank you.
From his forthcoming release, Mind the Gap, which will be out on the Stay Tuned record label, that was the track Full House, played by Roger Beaujolais, who surely is one of the world's great jazz vibraphone players. And you can hear Roger on May the 13th if you go to the Portsmouth Jazz Club. That's on Bursfield Road in Portsmouth. And Roger will be launching his album at The Forge in Camden on Delancey Street on June the 18th. Well, if you're a fan of theatre and dance as well as jazz, then BOP, who are an exciting London-based jazz theatre company, are performing their production, Miles Ahead, which celebrates the music of Miles Davis alongside new compositions by musical director Paul Jenkins at the Exmouth Pavilion on Wednesday the 1st of May. They're at the Fairfield Hall in Croydon on Friday the 3rd of May and in Newcastle on Sunday the 11th of May at the Tyne Theatre. As well as the BOP dancers on stage, the company have some of the UK's leading jazz musicians playing live alongside the dancers. And on this tour, Graham Harvey's on the piano, saxophonist Julian Siegel will appear, and trumpeter Jay Phelps will also be featured. That's BOP, who are performing Miles Ahead. Well, that's almost all from us. Remember, there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. And this week, he has concert sets from Phronesis and the Matthew Shipp Trio. And on next week's jazz lineup, concert music recorded at this year's Pizza Express Steinway Piano Festival, featuring Hungarian pianist Gabor Zeki and Janos Nodge, plus interviews with US sax star Joshua Redman and vocalist Norma Winston and pianist Nicky Isles as they embark on their national tour to celebrate Nicky's 50th birthday celebrations. From me, Claire Martin, until next time. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. One of music's more poignant meetings must have been in 1933 when Elgar visited Delius at Delius's home in the French countryside the year before both composers died. And Delius took the chance to tell Elgar off for wasting so much time writing long-winded oratorios. That, said Elgar, is the penalty of my English environment. Well, no penalties here. This is a performance of Elgar's oratorio, The Apostles, from the 2012 BBC Proms, conducted, masterminded, perhaps a better word, by Sir Mark Elder with his Halle forces. I'll credit the soloists after we've heard this first part. It's the second part which deals with Jesus' betrayal, crucifixion and ascension. This first part brings the calling of the apostles and a significant focus for Mary Magdalene as a metaphor for human fallibility. It opens at night, the dawn rising eventually beyond Jerusalem to the call of the Hebrew shofar and a blazing sun for which the Albert Hall and its organ might have been custom built.